The following program is an AUFans.com production. War Eagle.
Recently, in a magical field not too far from Auburn.
Excuse me, sir.
Aye.
What are you doing there?
I be collecting four-leaf clovers.
So, you need some kind of good luck charms? Are you a leprechaun or something?
That is correct. I'm a football leprechaun.
What is a football leprechaun?
Well, I go around the country protecting college football teams. I make sure teams of destiny follow the correct path.
Well, which game are you going to today?
I'm headed to Auburn, Alabama to spread magic and luck.
Oh, well, you must be about to help Jacksonville State. Because Auburn's the 41-point favorite.
Oh, you poor, misguided, random individual.
What's that? You may not know this, but I'm the host of an Auburn football show, and I picked Auburn to win 45-17.
Oh, you must surely love the taste of a certain pitch-colored avian.
Are you talking about a crow? You mean I'll eat crow? Is Auburn going
to
lose?
Oh, no. The victory will go to the Tigers as the team of destiny. But as for your score prediction compared to reality, may your crow be magically delicious.
This is Talking Tigers Football with Stan and Jay.
To the 40, to the 30, taillights, touchdown, Auburn! Wow, they're not going to keep them off the field tonight. Holy cow!
It's a little bit like a punch in the gut.
Oh, yeah.
What are we talking about?
And now, Talking Tigers Football, here are your hosts, Stan Stevens and Jay Webb.
And I am your host, Stan Stevens.
I am your other host, Jay Webb, and you're listening to Talking Tigers Football with Stan and Jay. We just told you that we are Stan and Jay.
Yes, you did say that.
Okay, so we had a game this weekend, and Stan, what happened?
Well, Jay,
well, we did win.
Yeah, well, yes. First of all, let's get that out of the way, Joe. We are 2-0.
That's 2-0.
And awesome. Sitting here tonight, as I look back, we were lucky not to be 1-1.
Do you have your rabbit's foot in?
I was in search of my rabbit's foot at late in that game.
I had my fingers crossed. Did that help?
That didn't hurt.
Yeah.
So, but what happened? That's a good question. Of course, I'm going to be eating a little bit of crow a little bit later, and what did happen? Well, Jay, let me explain a couple things to our vast listening audience out there. You know, there's a belief, there's a unwritten rule in sports and football that there's never any excuses. You know, if your whole team gets sidelined, at the bus stop and can't get to the stadium, you're supposed to just, pick 22 random people, put Auburn jerseys on them, and you're not supposed to miss a beat. I mean, I understand that. But there are some what I would call reasons why we struggled like we did against Jacksonville State. Now, first of all, Jacksonville State, let's be clear, they're a very, very good football team. Now, granted, they're at the FCS level, which we formerly known as 1AA.
Okay.
So, but as a 1AA program, I don't think there's any question. In fact, if you listen to the announcers, calling the game, they talked about how Jack State had about 8 or 9 former SEC signees on their team. So, apparently, Jacksonville State's become kind of the stopping off point for maybe some guys that's worn out their welcome maybe some other schools. Now, there was a couple of guys from Auburn that were on, that was on the Jacksonville State team. One of them didn't play, maybe their best defensive player. So we may have caught a break there. But they you know, Jacksonville State's had a long history of great football at that, what we used to call the 1AA level. If you look at our schedule, I mean, there's an Idaho team on there that is probably not within three touchdowns as good as Jacksonville State. So Jacksonville State's got some good players. Now, we had some guys that were out.
Thou shalt not make excuses.
Well, this is true, Jay, but I'm gonna give you a few here. Offensively, we had Avery Young, who's our starting and probably our best offensive lineman. He's our starting right tackle. He tweaked an ankle against Louisville. He was out. So we moved Braden Smith from right guard to right tackle. And to my knowledge, maybe Braden had played some right tackle last year. And we moved into Braden Smith's spot, the right guard, Danzy, who's actually the backup. And he kind of split time, but he's more the backup to the left guard, Alex Kozan. So already there was a little bit of, you had guys performing in positions in a game that they hadn't played this year and probably hadn't practiced a lot. Also, to be honest with you, Jay, Gus, and far be it from me to question maybe the best offensive mind in Auburn history as a offensive coordinator type and as head coach, but offensive coach, Gus Malzahn. But just looking at the film again, Jay, we ran the ball, I don't know, 25. Well, actually probably had close to 30-something carries, including the overtime. But I recorded one true quarterback keeper on the on that zone read that Nick Marshall was so successful and which made our offense so successful. One time, Jeremy Johnson carried the ball. Now, I'm not going to be like a guy that was on the board who posed the question, who's faster, Jeremy Johnson or Peyton Manning? I think Jeremy's got a little more speed than that, but. I don't think it's important that Jeremy Johnson be Nick Marshall. But in my humble opinion, to make the zone read go, there's got to be at least a threat of the quarterback pulling the ball and running.
Yeah.
Now, I will talk about that some more when we get to the, we're talking about the LSU game coming up next week. So the play calling and was very, what they say, vanilla.
Thou shalt not make excuses.
Okay, there was, I mean, it was just a not show what you're doing very much kind of offense. It was straight ahead. Peyton Barber had a big day running the football, but, we had drop passes. I mean, I don't know how do you explain that? I mean, you got guys like Duke Williams, who's been touted as a first-round NFL draft choice, dropping passes that he normally would just catch. And then maybe even bigger, though, in terms of the excuses, if you will.
Thou shalt not make excuses.
Well, I understand that, Jay, but listen, before you make that final call, let me just tell you a little bit about the defense. We had to start the game, who was on the sideline in street clothes, arguably two best defensive players, Carl Lawson at defensive end and Trey Matthews, our strong safety. Both were in street clothes. Then as the game, about only a couple of minutes into the game, tragically, Josh Holsey blew a knee out, as we learned today, and he's going to be gone for the season. And that, just on a side note, Jay, that is that kid is, they say, a very special kid. He's a leader on the team. He was coming back, and I believe it's the same knee that he injured last year. So really, really, really sad and tough news about that. But so Josh Holsey goes down. And then a little before half, and maybe one of the worst calls I've seen in a while, a targeting call was called on Blake Countess. And basically the Jacksonville State quarterback was running, and then he starts. You can see that Blake is coming in for the tackle, and then the quarterback just goes into a slide. Well, his head, where his waist was, I mean, a second earlier is where his head is. And I know you saw that play.
Yeah, probably less time than that.
I mean, it was almost fast. And so, and then what killed me about it, Jay, was they reviewed it, and still, you know, the 15-yard penalty was going to stand, but they still went ahead and said, yeah, it was targeting. Again, I don't know what they were looking at, and I don't know how you could avoid a guy just, you're about to tackle him around the waist and he drops. And the kid's already started, you know, committed to make the tackle, but yet
that, he's basically in midair. I mean, it's not like you could change your target, your path or anything.
That's right. So, yeah. You lose him.
Yeah.
So I think they said by the time we got to overtime with Jacksonville State, I think we had like five true freshmen. I don't think that's ever happened that I ever remember in Auburn history. Here you have five of your 11 guys out there, true freshmen. Mm-hmm. Now, that's going to be great for these guys going forward with the experience that they gained. Mm-hmm. And better maybe in a sense to gain it in a game where it was still close and every snap was meaningful.
Yeah.
But I think if you take some of that away, and then again, Jay, I mean, an 11 o'clock kickoff. I mean, the fans. Now, I will give it to the Auburn fans that were there in that late in that fourth quarter and then in overtime. The Auburn fans, it was loud. And that scoreboard, that scoreboard is just unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
But up until late in the game, that scoreboard was probably the best reason to be there, yeah. Saturday. But with the crowd behind them, you know, Auburn, you know, pushes the game to overtime and wins it. As looking at the film, you know, I looked at the film a couple of times, Jay. I mean, it just looks like, there was not a lot of enthusiasm versus when you play an SEC or a big game opponent. And again, when you couple that and with the injuries and with Jack State being a pretty good football team. And I got to tell you, Jay, and anybody saw the game, that quarterback, and I don't know how Eli Jenkins will play the rest of the way with Jacksonville State. I hope he continues to play like he did Saturday and everybody else, because you saw it. I mean, we had defensive backs all but riding some of these Jacksonville State receivers' backs, and they were still catching the ball.
Catching, yeah.
And I mean,
amazing catches.
And then throws.
Man, yeah.
I mean, the throws were what? They were
right there, yeah.
So, we were fortunate to win the game. It was a big win, believe it or not. It was really a big win as the way it turned out. I mean, I could go in and say, well, you know, I mean, the guy was Jenkins again. I was telling somebody, if Georgia had this Jenkins kid at quarterback, watch out for
they'd
the
be
dog.
Set.
I
right.
mean, because they're struggling at QB over in Athens, Georgia. This kid looked like he could play for at least half the teams in the conference. Mm. But again, we did somehow find a way to win it. And we move on to LSU. Now, one other thing, Jay, I failed to mention today. Mm-hmm. I was pulling some copy off the Newswire, and shockingly, Jacksonville State is their schedule next year. They're down to 9 football games.
What?
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
Well, 3 SEC teams that had them scheduled for next year canceled.
Okay.
Wow. Good luck, Jack State, finding your 3 opponents. That'll teach you to push an SEC team around. Wow. So,
Hey, let's move on to LSU.
LSU. Yes, this is the game the really, really big first game for Auburn, only because it's an SEC game. So as big as these last two have been, because they're all big, when you get into the SEC play, you know, that's what determines, you know, who's the SEC champion and so forth.
And I always think of LSU as kind of a thorn in Auburn's side for some reason. Well, I don't know what that is. But well, and then here we are about to play them for the first SEC game.
Well, and that's a good point because, and you may not have realized this, it's been since 1999 since Auburn's gone to Baton Rouge and won. And, of course, that's every other year, but still. That's quite a losing streak in Baton Rouge. Now, this year, Jay, we catch a break. 2:30 game instead of being nighttime on the Bayou.
Yeah.
It's going to be 2:30. So that just basically means a little less swampy. Well, maybe the LSU fans at least in the first half will be sober.
Yes.
I'm not sure I should say that. Yeah. But anyway, but a 2:30 kickoff on CBS. Mm-hmm. Big game. Now, LSU, Jay, is coming off a heart-stopping 21-19 victory over Mississippi State, which surprised a lot of people. And, I mean, everybody's focused on Auburn and how poorly we performed Saturday. But I'm watching LSU-Mississippi State Saturday night, Jay, and Mississippi State lines up for a 53-yard field goal to send the Bayou Tigers home with a loss.
Yeah.
And here's the funny thing about that, Jay. Les Miles is going to try to ice the kicker. Mm-hmm. So he's getting ready to call Mississippi State's lining up, and he's getting ready to call a timeout. Well, what you typically want to do is call that timeout right before the kid actually can kick it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you wait too long, you still may get the timeout. But if they don't stop, it's so close that the kid gets a free kick, and which is what happened. So the Mississippi State kid, he had enough leg, but he hooked it left. Well, if Les Miles hadn't called time, that would have been the ball game.
Right.
So now you're thinking, and even the announcer said, "Hey, you know, this kid's got a free swing at it. He got a mulligan in a sense." Now. And he lines up, Jay. He kicks it long enough, but he overcompensated for the hook, and he pushed it right. I mean, it's long enough. And so LSU survives a last-minute very makeable. As you recall, our guy kicked the 56-yarder with room to spare against Louisville. So now what was weird about this game is if you start – and I watched most of it, LSU, in a sense, always seemed like they were dominating. But, you know, of course, they jumped out early. Now, their big gun is Leonard Fournette, the running back. I mean, this guy is he's the real deal.
Okay.
Now, their quarterback is Brandon Harris. He got his first start ever last year at Jordan-Hare Stadium, and he took it on the chin to the tune of 41-7.
Mm-hmm.
And his second start was Mississippi State. Now, he looked a lot better. Although they only scored 21 points against a depleted. Now, I will say this. Mississippi State looked a lot better than I thought they would. Mississippi State lost about 18 starters, Jay. But the guys that they did have playing, you know, they played a lot of guys who played a lot of important roles last year in a backup role.
I see.
And so this wasn't like State was playing 18 freshmen.
Yeah,
but at the same time, they were not starters, and I really thought LSU maybe should get more than 21 points. So I was a little more. I tell you what, Jay, after watching like the first quarter of LSU Mississippi State, I had already told myself, you know, if I think LSU's going to beat Auburn, then that's what we're going to say. I mean, it may be AUFans.com, but you know, I'm going to call it. You know, that's not to say that I'm not going to lean, obviously, toward Auburn. I mean, that's my team. But, you know, but after that first quarter, I thought, man, what's the score going to be? But as the game went on and Mississippi State kept playing with these guys, I got to thinking more about what I think Gus has done. Well, I'll get to that. I'll get to the score here in a minute. But so that was LSU. They opened up with a big win on the road, but they were – maybe not as fortunate as we were, although this guy kicks a 53-yard field goal and they're beat. Now, obviously, Mississippi State is not Jacksonville State, or at least not as far as we know.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you, Jay, what's going to happen Saturday. All right. Well, I hope my crystal ball is a little bit clearer than it's been these first 2 weeks, Jay. All right, here's what's going to happen, Jay.
All right, give it to us.
Well, first of all, Saturday we're going to have everybody back. That means Avery Young is going to be back at right tackle.
Okay.
Braden Smith back at right guard.
Yeah.
So the offensive line is going to be back intact. We're going to have, of course, Peyton Barber's is 100%. I'm hoping that we're going to have, and pretty much everybody else on the offense should be ready to go. Defensively, Carl Lawson, Trey Matthews start. Blake Countess is back, of course. He served his half-game suspension the second half of the Jack State game. So he'll be starting at one corner. And, of course, Jonathan Jones, our best cornerback, at least preseason predicted, he's ready to go already as well.
Okay.
So the big news there again is my crystal ball is telling me Carl Lawson's ready to go and Trey Matthews. So now also you're going to see Jeremy Johnson, JJ.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see him on that zone read.
Oh, yeah. We've been talking about it.
He's going to carry it 6 to 10 times on Saturday. Not once or twice like he did against Jacksonville State. Now, here's one caveat to that.
All right.
If we come out with a completely different offense, and this is what I mean by that. If you're going to do kind of what Auburn was doing Saturday, you need to run more of an I formation if you're just going to have one tailback. And you need to do some toss sweeps and, you know, things that would come out of more of a traditional I. If we're going to continue to run that zone read offense, Jeremy Johnson has to carry the ball at least 6-7, I think maybe as many as 8 or 9 times.
Otherwise, he's not really a threat.
That's right. Right. And if LSU figures out that it's just going to be right up the gut,
mm-hmm.
I'm afraid – there'll be no push against that LSU front, which is much better, obviously, than Jacksonville State. So you're going to see Jeremy. Also, this is what you're going to see, Jay. You're going to see some plays. You're going to see, I don't know, 5 to 8 to 10 plays that we haven't seen this season at all.
Okay.
A double reverse, we've seen some hints of like Statue of Liberty where a guy comes around, but and also in what I mean by that, instead of Ricardo Lewis getting 10 catches and, say, Stanton Truitt, Marcus Davis getting none, we have to, Jay, get the ball around.
Spread the love and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because if you don't, LSU will load up on us. And Coach Malzahn, here's the thing. Coach Malzahn knows that. I mean, Coach Malzahn wants to win worse than I do. And he, it's close, but
yeah.
It does. But here's the thing. He knows the offensive game. And everybody said, as I said earlier, everybody could recognize that was a vanilla, very vanilla offense.
Sure.
And so they've got something in store for LSU. And I don't know what it is, but there'll be some different plays. And there may be different plays throughout the whole game. We need no turnovers. And here's the thing. And I know everybody's concerned, and I'm going to get to this in a little bit about my beef of the week in a few minutes. But Jeremy Johnson, I think you – if you saw plays that you scratch your head and say – and some of these people say, let's sit him down. You also saw plays where he scrambled, hit Rock Thomas on the run, that throw in overtime. There's no question that Jeremy Johnson's got ability.
No, certainly. That's absolutely true.
Coach Malzahn has got to put and I'll say this, Jay, in the post game press conference after the Jack State game, at least 3 or 4 times, Gus said, "I've got to do a better job of helping Jeremy," and he does. He's got to. I mean, if you go back to when Gus was the OC at Tulsa, Paul Smith, I believe it was, he was no running threat, but he threw for over 400 yards a game. Now, Gus loves the run, and we all love the downhill running game. You know, it wears on an opponent. It seems to break the, but if you've got a guy that's got a cannon for an arm and you've actually got some other people that can catch the ball, and you don't have to be, you know, we don't have to keep running, you know, that out, you know, where they're in the cover two and he's not recognizing a linebacker dropping into coverage and so forth. I mean, there are things that Gus can do and Rhett Lashley can do to make Jeremy more successful. He may still have some interceptions. You know, everybody, Peyton Manning throws interceptions, right. Okay? But, I mean, Jeremy's got to get some experience. So, again, I expect Saturday Gus to open up the playbook and give Jeremy some real options beyond what we've seen so far. If not, it will be a long day for Auburn. I will say that. But I truly expect the playbook. And that doesn't mean we won't have any turnovers. Now, hear me, Auburn fans. You know, we're not an NFL polished football team. We're playing a lot of young people. Nobody wants to hear that, but it's true. And Gus, Jay, in preseason told anybody that would listen, that we got a lot of new moving parts, a lot of talent, but guys that need to get experience. So we've had two games. If anything was good about the Jack State game, I mean, it pushed these guys that were starters and these kids that came in on defense had to play a lot of snaps. You're going to see that. I think the defense only needs to get back Carl Lawson and Trey Matthews healthy. Now, if they're not ready to go, I still expect Will Muschamp to confuse Brandon Harris. And if you go back and look at the Jacksonville State game, I mean, the number of conversions on third down that Jack State made was amazing. And having looked at the film, I mean, it wasn't a whole lot of just busted assignments on Auburn's part. I mean, Jack State went out and earned a bunch of those those successes.
Yeah, they played tight.
And so you're going to see, but you're going to see Muschamp's defense flex its muscle again Saturday. So,
all right, AU fans. Well, that stands crystal ball predictions. Well, remember, this is not law. This is Stan's predictions.
No, that's right.
Well, no, not even predictions. You're looking into your crystal ball, so you can see all this happening.
And so sometimes.
All right, let's go with that.
Sometimes that gets a little
cloudy.
It gets murky. It does get murky. But I got to give I got a score.
Stuff.
I got to give the score.
All right, let's hear it. What you got?
I mean, the crystal. I'm looking in the and folks again. I know I got some crow coming, but I mean, I'm looking right into the crystal ball here. I mean. So, Auburn 31, okay. LSU 27.
That would be a real nail biter and respectable game, I'd say.
Well, I mean, given how that we are now underdogs and since the way we performed Saturday, that is a little bit climbing out there, a little bit on the limb. But based on what I'm seeing, Jay, and what I'm feeling,
what you're seeing from LSU,
and what I'm feeling about Gus, I think that you're going to see the best performance we've had this year. And really, except for the first 2.5 quarters, maybe almost 3 quarters against Louisville, you know, we haven't since then maybe looked that good. But I think the defense that started that first game. And maybe the offense in the best spots of both games, you put all that together, we got a chance. So that's
all right.
That's what I'm going with. 31-27.
Okay, so there you have it, AU fans. All right, now let's take a look at SEC stuff. What's happened this past week and what's coming up in the future?
All right. Well, first of all, Jay, I have to eat my crow. All right, so yes, a lot of those crows seem to be getting closer and louder. Well, my first crow game, Jay, and because we did win, the upset of the weekend, Toledo, who I think I made a disparaging comment about and they're actually a pretty good football team. It was more the fact that their Stony Brook game got rained out or whatever. I made some kind of remark. But anyway, Toledo, they rolled into Little Rock, Arkansas, upset Arkansas. And I mean, I'm going to tell you something, Jay. I'm still stunned that Arkansas got 12 points and only ran the football for like 100 yards. I don't know how to explain that. Arkansas plays Texas Tech. I'm going to go back with the Pigs to bounce back, although I'm not sure what's going on over there in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Another game where I had to eat crow, but maybe not quite as much. I picked Tennessee to beat Oklahoma. Jay, I watched that game. Tennessee should have beaten Oklahoma. I mean, again, this is not an excuse fest, but Tennessee's got a 17-3 lead with about 10 minutes to go in the game, and they end up losing in double overtime, 31-24. But if you had watched the game, in fact, based on what I saw this past week, currently I like Tennessee to win the East. Now, each week I'll probably say, okay, here's who I think the favorite is this week. But I saw everybody play. Tennessee still looks like the best team if you take away maybe that last 10 minutes. They may have gotten a little bit conservative. I'm not sure. But anyway, they lose 31-24, double overtime to Oklahoma. Yeah. They play Western Carolina in a name your score for the Vols this week. Florida beat East Carolina at home. Oh, and by the way, Jay, I meant to say earlier that Arkansas-Toledo game, that's a new – that Arkansas is the GOAT of the week.
We need one of those.
Right? That's right, new feature.
We just hope we don't ever end up there.
Well, we won't, trust me. Florida held on and beat East Carolina. Mm-hmm. Didn't look particularly good doing it either. I thought the Gators would struggle this year. They're way down, I think, talent-wise from where they will be. But they travel this week to Kentucky, who, by the way, Jay, last week was our first SEC team of the week. This week, the Kentucky Wildcats earned the AU Fans SEC team of the week by going to South Carolina and beating Steve Spurrier and the Gamecocks. Mm-hmm. It was the first SEC road win for Kentucky, I think, in like 20 games. Oh. So that would cover a few years. So a big, big win for Kentucky.
Okay.
I've got them beating Florida in Lexington this Saturday. So that's, some people would call that an upset. But based on the two teams I saw play, Florida goes into Lexington and the Wildcats upset sort of the Gators.
All right.
Let's see. South Carolina will be traveling to Athens, Georgia, to play the Georgia Bulldogs. Now, Georgia was very, very unimpressive against Vandy. They won 31-14. Georgia's got some quarterback problems, Jay. Now, they may have the best running back in the country, Nick Chubb, and have a very, very, very good offensive line. They've got some issues at quarterback. And I do like them to beat South Carolina this week at home, though. Their defense, South Carolina lost their starting quarterback, Connor Mitch, to a separated shoulder. Going to Athens, Georgia, with that second-team quarterback, I see Georgia at least 10-plus over the Gamecocks. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Who do we have? Who are we leaving out here? Oh, well, of course, Mississippi State will beat Northwestern State. Again, I'm not sure Northwestern State's probably even seen a cowbell. let's see. But then probably the game of the week in Tuscaloosa, Jay, is the Alabama Crimson Tide versus the Ole Miss Rebels. So far in this correspondent's humble opinion – Mm-hmm. Alabama, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M are the three best teams in the conference that I've seen.
Yeah.
Okay. Of course, Texas A&M, they did have that big win against Arizona State. Now, A&M last week just killed Ball State, and they play Nevada Saturday, and that's a real gamble on Nevada's part. You can go ahead and laugh, Jay. Anyway, the game of the week in Tuscaloosa, it's Saturday night, ESPN, 8:15. Ole Miss Rebels invade Tuscaloosa to play the Alabama Crimson Tide. I have really been torn on. I think
I might have to go to the crystal ball for this one.
Well, and I see my crystal ball won't show me anything about the Crimson Tide. So I'm going to – I'm picking Alabama to win that game Saturday night, basically because they're playing in Tuscaloosa. Mm-hmm. I think this is two great football teams, two great defenses.
Put a score out there?
I'll have to think about a score. Now, I do think the key for Ole Miss hasn't run the ball a lot in these first couple of games. Where they, by the way, they were the first SEC team – the court score back-to-back 73 points ever. They played UT Martin School for the
for chess.
And then they played a little bit better known team, Fresno State. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they haven't faced obviously a defense like they're going to face Saturday night in Tuscaloosa. So if Chad Kelly, who's a new Ole Miss quarterback, and he looks better than Bo Wallace, who they had when Ole Miss beat Alabama last year. If Chad Kelly can keep doing what, and he's obviously not going to do what he's done these first 2 weeks against Alabama's defense, but I'm saying if he can keep from throwing, you know, a pick six or, you know, maybe multiple INTs, you know, Ole Miss maybe has a real chance. But I think in the end, in a close one, the Crimson Tide will beat the Rebels. So that's pretty much it for this week in the SEC, Jay.
All righty. You heard it right here. Now, we're getting awful close to closing out the show, but before we go, you kind of seem like something's eating at you a little bit.
Maybe like I've got the beef of the week.
Beef of the week.
Well, yes, and this is more serious than sometimes my beef of the weeks might have been. Okay. You know, in light of what happened Saturday, I am so sick and tired of a certain section of Auburn people just turning on Gus, turning on Jeremy Johnson. I'm telling you, Jay, you've heard about, you know, this was not your, you know, your daddy's Oldsmobile. Mm-hmm. Well, this is not your daddy's Auburn fan base that we've, and it's like Philip Marshall said, who's a writer for Auburn Undercover, you know, with the advent of the internet and Twitter and all this stuff, these people get on here and they just say the most hateful, hurtful, just things you wouldn't say to your worst enemy. And I tell you, I'm really getting sick of it. But so Auburn, all AU fans, if you see some of these people, just remember, this is somebody, these are our people. This is just like it was our kids out there playing. Stop all your whining. And I tell you what, you know, they talk about sunshine pumpers. Tell me what a sunshine pumper is and tell me how it's better just to be negative and that's just, oh, everything stinks and the sky and Gus can't coach. So that is the beef of the week, Jay. I'm really hoping that Auburn people will pull together, get behind these kids.
Yeah, let's be loyal fans.
And let's be, you know, let's remember what Auburn is all about, family. Mm-hmm. All right, Jay, I'm done.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up this show for the week. I want to do one more little shout out here to our guys in the band Set for Life. We're going to be playing their music as we go out. But also, if you get a chance and you like this music, check out Set for Life. That's Set for Life with the number 4 in there. And you can check them out on Facebook. Just type that in, and you will probably find them right away.
All right. And, Jay, let's join us next week. We will review the LSU-Auburn game, hopefully a victory, and we'll talk about getting ready for the Mississippi State Bulldogs, who will be coming to Jordan-Hare Stadium. I think I saw they've announced it is going to be a night game. So, folks, that $14 million, if you will, scoreboard at Jordan-Hare Stadium at night will be something. Hopefully, we'll be back on track and ready to give back a little payback to the Bulldogs.
And War Eagle.
War Eagle, Jay.
You've been listening to Talking Tigers Football with Stan and Jay, with your hosts, Stan Stevens and Jay Webb. This has been a production of AUFans.com in association with Webb and Stevens Unlimited Media. Thank you for listening, and War Eagle!